With God is better than life on a mountain anytime without him. It's not going to stay the way it is, but God's going to be with you there, and there's something to be gained. What a wonderful presence of God flowing in the house this morning. And we're delighted and thrilled to have Brother Zach, Sister Tiffany Wells in the house with us today. We're glad to have Brother Wells' mom and dad with us. And speaking of grandchildren, they came in with all the babies this morning. So what a wonderful season of life that God gives us. You know, in a season where your body starts complaining and it won't work like it ought to sometimes, and your knees go to creaking and popping, and you feel the cold hand of mortality on you, God just drops these wonderful little gifts into your life. And it just fires you up all over again about life and newness. And it's just, all the grandparents said amen. That's right. So we're excited to have Brother and Sister Wells in the house with us. Brother Zach Wells, I want you to come this morning. Whatever the Holy Ghost has told you, I want you to take your liberty this morning and just tell us what the Holy Ghost is saying.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't you praise him together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a great day to be living for God. Amen. If you're not living for God, you ought to get involved. Amen. Because his work is always going to be accomplished. And everything he's doing is going to be blessed and prosper. Amen. Too often we pray, God bless what I'm doing, instead of doing what God's blessing. Amen. You get involved in the kingdom of God, he said, hey, you'll never be lacking. Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Amen. It's great to be here today. Love and appreciate Brother and Sister Sutton very, very much. Amen. Amen. And I love and I'm always excited to come to New Life. Amen. If you can't be happy here, you probably got something wrong with your whatever it is that makes you happy. Amen. But I love to come here and absolutely apostolic worship. It's always exciting. Amen. And hallelujah. It's good to be here. Thank you so much for the room and the basket. I don't know who makes the baskets around here, but you guys have the best baskets of anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's good to be here. Glad my mom and dad's here, my wife, and my ready-made Sunday school department. Amen. If I ever go start a church, I'll never have less than five. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be here. I'm glad to be here. I'm going to preach something I feel in the Holy Ghost here today. And I'm going to give away a secret. Maybe other preachers don't do it, but I do it. When you have a message you're trying to work on, you kind of stick it in the middle of one that does work. You preach around it. And then while you're coming, you just kind of preach that one, see how it goes. And then two or three times of that, you take it out and see if it can go to school on its own. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. But I think the Holy Ghost is going to help us. This is what I feel to talk about. And I believe God's going to speak to somebody's heart today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 4, verse number 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished or astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will. Whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And it may be a lengthening thy tranquility. Amen. Amen. Daniel preached what God had judged. And then he told the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, now that I've preached the judgment of God, I'm going to give you my counsel. You ought to repent. You ought to turn around. You ought to see if God will give you mercy. And the Bible said that because Daniel preached, that 12 months of time passed, and God gave this man a space to repent. Amen. I don't have a title here this morning. I'm just going to preach about the time of repentance. Amen. The time of repentance. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us today. Father, we trust you. We ask you to help us. We ask your word to grip us today. I pray, God, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Spirit, God, would work in this house today. Open your word to our hearts and our minds. Help me to preach the gospel today without fear or favor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Amen. As you read your Bible, and I am going to preach very quickly here today. It's already 5 after 11. But when you read the Bible, every story is, and every event that is in the Bible stands alone most of the time in its power to grip your attention and to speak to you. And throughout the entirety of Scripture, they're just stories, story, story. And laced throughout those stories are principles that string through the Word of God that are never changing. Those principles, the Word of God has principles all throughout it that every story and every event of the fragility of frailty of man and our shortcomings and our mistakes, those individual pictures paint a portrait throughout the whole Bible that the principles of God's word never change. And every story just seems to reiterate the fact that you gotta do right, and you gotta live for God, and you gotta be true, and you gotta be faithful, and you gotta be righteous. Righteousness is a principle from the beginning to the end of the word of God. You never get away with unrighteousness. In fact, that's what Noah was. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. That's what we got to be. We've got to live righteous. We've got to live holy. We've got to live separate. And I would submit to you this morning that just conformity to a doctrine and just conformity to standards is not righteousness. But righteousness has to begin on the inside. That righteousness is what God has made. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But I've been made the righteousness of God because the Holy Ghost is supposed to help me live righteous. The Holy Ghost is not just for me to feel good on Sunday night and on Sunday morning, but it's the power in me to live righteous in this world. Hallelujah. So every story, every captivating story in the Bible
stands alone. It tells the story. You read the story of Noah's Ark. You read the story of Daniel in the lion's den. You read the story of David and Goliath. All of these are stories, and they're powerful stories. And I don't believe they've ever been exhausted, and I don't believe we've ever preached and plumbed the depths of every one of those events. They're so simple, but when you begin to break them down, I don't begin to look at them. Everything in the Word of God is written on layers. There's the audience to who that story was written to, that was initially intended to see and read. And then there's you and I that are reading, because all Scripture is given by God and by the inspiration of the Spirit, and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, and it's all there. Everything's in there for us. And you read, and it's written to me, and it was written to them. But then on the backside of that, you keep plowing through everything, every story, every sentence, every word, every letter, behind the intent of the Word of God, standing in the background, through every other way that every story speaks to you and every line speaks to you, behind it is an overreaching, overarching theme from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, from the first chapter to the last chapter. Standing behind every sentence in the Word of God is this one principle and theme. And every sentence and every story has this part somewhere in it. And that is the fallen nature of man being reconnected with the Creator. Behind every story, you can preach that God is looking for a people that'll be His people. He's looking for the man that He created. Come back to me. Behind the prodigal son, it's not just a reconnection with the Father, but it's the man, that the fallen nature of humanity. Come on back to me. I know how to do you right. I'm the God that made you. Behind every story is God's nature reaching out to His created being. Come back to my presence. Come back to communion with me. Come back to relationship with me. You can preach it from every point in the Bible. You can preach it from every angle, because that's what the Bible was written for, is that God is reaching to a man child that was born and made in His image, and we left Him and we were separated from Him, and God is trying to bridge that separation in every instance in the Bible. That story, come back to me. And so we begin to read Daniel chapter 4. And in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is one of history's most influential kings, one of his most powerful figures. In fact, some of the things that Nebuchadnezzar instituted in his empire and in his reign are still being used in civilization today. His methods and some of his thought processes and some of his political agendas and all that stuff, and much of the stuff that he did is going by the wayside, but some of it still comes through. And he, if you go to high school or you go to college and you study Western civilization, you will study Nebuchadnezzar. You don't have to study very long. And in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has a chapter. In fact, the strong implication is that he wrote some of this chapter, his own testimony. He wrote it in this chapter, and the chapter opens of Nebuchadnezzar, this magnificent king, who at the time there had never been a man as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar in the history of the world. He was a man that even God said of him, if he would, whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he left alive. He had the power of life and death. He was almost like a god. He had incredible influence. And even God said in Daniel that his influence reached as far as the earth could span. Nebuchadnezzar is this great man, powerful man. Everything he needs is afforded to him. He has limitless wealth and ambition and power. Nothing that he can imagine is withheld from him. And the Bible said one day this king, Nebuchadnezzar, was laying on his bed in his house. He's at ease. He's taking it easy. Man, he's enjoying life. I don't know if he was sipping lemonade or iced tea or whatever, but he's just sitting in there, and he's sitting in his veranda maybe, and he's laying up in the couch, and the breezes are blowing through his magnificent house and somewhere around in there is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and I mean, he's having a big old time, and everything that he needs is at his fingertips, and he's lacking for nothing, and he looks around, and he said, you know, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you got a pretty good life. You're doing pretty good for yourself. Anybody ever said that? You're doing pretty good. In fact, that's what the world says today. We're doing pretty good without God. We've got a nice house and a nice car and got a nice job, and we don't need God. You ever heard anybody say that? You can raise your hand. This is an interaction here today. You ever heard anybody say, I don't need God. I don't need church. I don't need religion. Because they've got everything taken care of. They got good insurance. They 20 minutes from a good hospital. If anything happens, we go, man, we'll be all right. We got everything taken care of. We don't need anything. We eat good every week. We got our kids in a good school. We got them in the school we want them to be in. And we're living in a good neighborhood. And there's a guard at the entrance of our neighborhood. And you can't get in unless you belong in here. And we got everything going good. But behind every human being, without you even knowing it, there's things that are going on behind the scenes that you're unaware of. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's been going through life, doing his own thing, doing whatever felt good, doing whatever. Behind this theme, if you'll help me preach here this morning, it's not just a king living in kingship. It's not just a king enjoying the blessings of an empire. But behind this picture is the nature of man, that everything's going right and everything's going good. And I have need of nothing, and I'm increased with good. And I'm fat and I'm sassy and everything's okay. And I've got everything I'm ever going to possibly need. That's the nature of the people that we live in. I don't need church. I don't need God. It's not that they have an antagonistic spirit against God. They just don't need him. Nebuchadnezzar's sitting there and he's drinking iced tea and maybe he's eating Vienna sausage or something. I mean, that's living right there. You got Vienna sausage, you got a meal and a drink. My wife's about to throw up. And if it gets too cold and it gets all congealed, you just put it up in the windshield and let it melt. You still got a drink. I'm sure he wasn't eating Vienna sausages. Whatever he was eating. Having a good time. Everything's good. It's cheesy. And man, And he leans back to take a nap. And all of a sudden, he has a dream. And it troubles him. Because no matter where you're at, God knows how to get your attention. Doesn't matter if you've ever thought of God. Doesn't matter if you've ever even let him be in your cognizant thinking. If God wants to get your attention, he made you and he knows how to get you. Hallelujah. God knows how to talk to his people. And so he gives Nebuchadnezzar, this man who is troubled by nothing, a dream or a vision. He wasn't even sure what it was. And he's laying there on the bed and he says, I saw a tree. That starts out kind of like some people have dreams, you know. Some people have dreams about what kind of cereal they need to eat in the breakfast from every morning. You know, God don't talk to me about all that stuff. He lets me choose my own cereal. He doesn't really care about where I park, you know. Just park. Some things you don't have to seek God over, you know. Should I wear clothes today? Yeah, be a good idea. You ever wonder what God's thinking sometimes when we're praying? Why is that even bothering you? God, please let Alabama win this weekend. I don't care. Who gives a rip? See, I just offended some of you because some of you believe God's an Alabama fan. Phew. So he's sitting there and he sees a tree. And it's just a tree. But he said, all of a sudden I saw the tree, and he said, this tree was unlike any other tree I'd ever seen. It was magnificent. It was the tallest tree I've ever seen. It reached all the way to the heavens. He said the sight of it could be seen from all points in the earth. See this tree. You could see this tree from everywhere. He said it was magnificent. The leaves were fair and the branches were strong and mighty. He said all the beasts of the field fed under it and had shadow under it. And all the beasts of the earth came and ate from the fruit of this tree. The fruit was much and it was wonderful. And everybody was having a good time around this tree. All the beasts of the field are eating underneath it. And all the fowls of the earth are living in the branches and nesting in the branches. And man, this tree, it's unbelievable. It's magnificent. You've never seen a tree like this. It's so big and that all the birds in the world can fit in it and have shadow and shelter in the branches. And all the beasts of the field are living underneath this tree. And they're eating off the fruit of this tree. Wonderful tree. It's magnificent. He said all flesh was fed of it. He said, and as I was laying there in my bed looking at this tree, he said, all of a sudden, this tree standing there, beautiful, unchanged by man or beast. It's just living in its splendor. He said, all of a sudden, I saw a watcher. I don't even know what a watcher is, he said. But I saw a watcher. Maybe the watcher in the dream had a badge on that said watcher. I don't know. But somehow there was an understanding in Nebuchadnezzar's mind that this man is a watcher. And he said, I watched as this watcher came down from heaven. And he came to this tree of magnificent splendor, this tree of magnificent strength, and this tree that could be seen from all the corners of the earth. This watcher comes near to this tree, and he stands by the tree, and he said, this is the decree of the Most High God. This is the decree of the watchers. I've been watching this tree. Nebuchadnezzar said, I didn't understand. This tree was mighty. This tree fed all the earth. This tree fed all the flesh of the earth. And he said, all of a sudden, this watcher shows up and says, when you didn't even know it, tree, I was watching what you were doing. I'm the watcher. I've been looking at your life. Even when you didn't even think about God, I was watching your life. I was watching how you treated your friends. I was watching how you treated your neighbor. I was watching your selfish motives. I was watching my God, the Holy Ghost. I was watching your life when you didn't even know I was God. I was watching your life. I was looking at your tree. I see that you're mighty. I see that your branches are fair. I see that you're strong and have need of nothing. But I want you to know, tree, I'm the watcher. And by my decree, we can cut this tree down. By my decree, we can end the life of this tree. I am the watcher. See, because we want to think that until we turn to him, God's not concerned with us. But I want to tell you that the Bible says we'll answer for every idle word. And he sees everything. And not only does he see everything, the Bible said the watcher knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows when we act in selfish motives. He knows what really is happening behind our mind when we're doing what we're doing. He knows what's really going on in our hearts. He sees our tree and he said, I know the very thought and the intent of your heart. He looked at the people of God, the created beings in the time of Noah, and he said, the thought and the intent of their heart was only evil every day. It was, I was watching and I saw these people. My God, I'm preaching just to a tree this morning. I'm preaching to fallen man. I want to tell you that God's watching our life. It doesn't matter what you do or where you go. God sees everything. Watcher, Holy One. The Bible said he cried aloud against the tree. And here's what you got to understand here today, and I'm not going to spend very long on this, but you're going to be judged by a law whether or not you even believe in that law. It's called the law of God, and God's going to judge you by it. Whether you believe in God or whether you think there's a God or whether you think that all is necessary, God's not going to ask you that question. He's going to stand you by the law of God. I'd say you either passed or failed in the judgment. There's not going to be any maybes or nots. Or may I didn't know. Nobody ever. No. He said, your thought, you know me because I've made you intrinsically placed in every one of us is a thought process and a belief in God. And he said, I see it all. I'm watching your life. I'm watching every moment. I'm watching every time. Every season. He's looking. And all of a sudden this tree is judged by a law that it didn't even know existed. And the watcher says, hew down this tree. Shake off the leaves. Run the flesh and the fowls out from his branches. Flee the beast away from it. Shake off the limbs. Cut down the tree. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth. Even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. And then the angel steps back and said, this matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Hallelujah. Nebuchadnezzar had power and majesty and strength, but he didn't understand that it was God who had given him all that power. It was God that had bestowed unto him the majesty. And he said, I've done all this myself. See, the nature of sin is that I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to accrue to myself everything I can do. I'm going to live by my own power, my own strength, my own desires, my own thoughts. That's the nature of sin. But God said, you're going to be judged whether you think I'm God or not, whether you think I'm true or not, whether you think your pastor's an idiot or not. You're going to be judged by a law that is ever changing. This is the decree of the holy ones. You can never change the decree of the watchers. It doesn't matter. Preach against them. Say you don't believe. But one day the watcher will stand against your tree and say, judge them by the decree of the watchers. That's why the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord. The watcher. Nebuchadnezzar, you didn't understand that God gave you all this stuff. God gave you the life you're living. God gave you the blessings that you've been living in and been experiencing. God gave you the good health and the good nature. Because you don't understand, Nebuchadnezzar, it's in me you live. And it's in me you breathe and have your being. Without me, you can't even exist. Without me, you have nothing to hold your life together. Without me, I'm God. I made you. I created you. It's by me that all things consist. And without me was not anything made that was made. This is the decree of the watchers, Nebuchadnezzar. You got to know who I am. And it doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. I'm going to reveal to you that I still rule in the kingdom of men. See, the problem in our world today is man's living by his own law. instead of God's law. And we become so wise that we're idiots. You can sue somebody because you spilled hot coffee in your lap. How ignorant is that? I want hot coffee. But be careful to burn you, okay? And you spill it in your lap and it burns you. Oh, this burned me. Well, you asked for hot coffee. See, we don't want to be judged. We don't want to be held accountable for our own actions. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else. That's the law we live by. It's not because I'm just an idiot. It's because my mom and dad were messed up and my family was. No. The problem is you're a sinner. The problem is you're living by your own law. That's your problem. We're living by our own law. Every man does that which is right. Do what you feel, man. You don't want a girlfriend, get you a boyfriend. We don't care. That's what the world, we live by our own law. Do what feels good, man. Do whatever you justify and deem right in your own eyes. You're your own tree. You're your own man. You have rights. Yeah, you got rights. But there's also a watcher.
He's watching.
The watcher says, I see it all. And one day you'll be judged by everything. Amen. See, we don't want to think about that. The Bible says the sinners, that God's going to judge sinners. The wrath of God's going to be poured out upon sinners, the Bible says. Amen. The judgment of God for their sin. That's called the day of the Lord. It's coming. God's going to reveal himself. And everybody's going to know that God's God when the wrath of God falls upon them. The Bible said that their flesh will be poured out like dung and their blood like dust. You're not going to be able to not say God doesn't exist because the wrath of God is going to be falling on you. That's what the Bible says. The day of God's judgment is coming upon man and God's going to judge sinners. God knows. And I want to tell you something. The judgment of God's coming upon every creature, every creed, every created being. God's judgment is coming one day. It's going to fall upon us. And we're going to be judged by the decree of the watchers. I saw it. I saw everything. So Nebuchadnezzar's troubled by this dream. Man, what does it mean? He doesn't even know if he's the tree or not. He just says, I saw a tree. It was a tree that didn't need to be cut down, but it got cut down. Troubled him. He said, I need somebody to tell me what this dream means. Hallelujah. So he goes and gets all the Scientologists, the astrologers and all the magicians. He says, hey man, tell me what this means. They said, we don't really know. Maybe some of them gave him some various options and bandied ideas about it, what it could have been, but something about their answers didn't satisfy him. And he said, maybe somebody, is there anybody that knows what to tell? And so somebody said, well, there is a guy that's interpreted dreams before. Let's see if he can do it. He's a Hebrew boy, one of the guys we brought out of captivity. We've changed his name from Daniel to Belteshazzar. He'll come. Maybe he can tell you. Daniel comes in, he says, I can't tell you. But God will tell me and I'll tell you. And so the king says, here's my dream. I'm almost finished. It's 11:30. We'll be finished in a minute. We can either go in 15 minutes or we can go in an hour and beat everybody. I'm just kidding. Everybody got scared right there. So Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel, he says, here's my dream. This is what I dreamed. I saw this tree, man. It was beautiful, wonderful. The leaves were fair and the fruit was much and it was high and it reached the heaven and you could see it from all corners of the earth. And all of a sudden, here comes this mean guy and he says, hew this tree down, shake the leaves off, cut the branches off, run all the birds out of the trees, run all the animals out from under the bottom and leave the stump in the earth and bind it with a band of iron and let the rain fall on it and let it be grown up with grass. And then maybe we'll talk about it later. He said, what does it mean? He said, I don't know why it's troubled me so much that this beautiful tree got cut down. Daniel said, let me think about it for a little while. Let me pray and study, see what God's saying, because I believe this is from God. And so Daniel, the Bible said he was alone with his thoughts for a little while, and he's sitting there and he's thinking. And here's what humanity does. They run when they see the preacher's thinking about what God's talking to them about. You ever done that? You tell your pastor something, and he just sits back and closes his eyes and says, It's kind of like when the doctor comes in and says, All of a sudden, panic starts running up and down your back, and your heart starts pounding out of your chest. And your ears start sweating, and you're like, oh, God. And Daniel's sitting there, and the Bible said he's thinking. He's listening to God. And the king says, oh, don't let it bother you, man. That's okay. I see that it's troubling you. I don't want to hear it if it's troubling you. Don't worry about it, dude. And Daniel says, oh, no. You called me in here, buddy. I'm going to tell you. See, because we want the good things. We don't like what our pastor preaches, so we go turn on televangelists. He said, oh, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be favored and blessed and highly used of God. Oh, I like that. No. Daniel said, it don't matter. Hey, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to tell you what God says if you have to kill me. So, see, here's the problem. Once you bring the preacher into it, see, all you were doing good till you came to church. Now you brought the preacher into it. And we're bound by a law that we can't change. We're not bound by our own thoughts, our own processes, or what we feel. We're bound by the law, the call of God, that we must declare against unrighteousness, and we must declare against sin, and we must declare against ungodliness. We're bound by a law. We cannot change it. We can't decide. We preach what we want to preach. We're bound by the law of God. We're bound by the cloak of the call that we must declare sin. It doesn't matter how much I like you. If I see you're living in sin, if I'm your pastor, I'm not your pastor. But if your pastor sees you in sin, he's got to declare, because he's bound by a law that's stronger than the law of friendship. It's called the law of call of God. I've got to declare against sin. Because I may lose your friendship if I declare against your sin. But if I don't declare against your sin, God's going to kill me. Or worse than that, I'll become a reprobate that has no feeling or no thought, and I can't even figure out what God's saying, because God said, you won't declare what my word said. You won't declare what my... I want to tell you something today, that every preacher that is a preacher, an apostolic preacher, is bound by a calling and a law that we must declare the word of God. It doesn't matter if society likes it. It doesn't matter if the world likes it. It's the law of God, and it must be preached. Because I want you to understand something about God. God is unbending. The Bible said in him is no shadow of turning. If it was sin 50 years ago, it's still sin. God didn't change. It's still wrong. And the God's... And the abominations that are in the Word of God are always abominations. Doesn't matter if society becomes intolerant of it and becomes acceptable of it and even passes laws that make it legal. No. The law of God never changes, because there's no appellate court of the law of God. You can't say, God, I don't like that. No. Because God said, I'm unchanging. There's no shadow of time. There's no variableness in me. It made me sick in the beginning. It still makes me sick. It's still unrighteousness. It's still sin. It's still an abomination. And the world we live in today, all the charismatic whackouts, Point Church, and I don't even know who these churches are, but you can tell what kind of church they got by their name on their sign. No Change Church. You know. I saw one the other day, a cowboy church, and they had spittoons in the pews to spit your tobacco in. How ignorant is that? Just come as you are. Spit in our floor. We don't care. That's the kind of world we live in. We've made God's law something that's laughable. And we turn the unchangeable God into a big, soft, nice, fluffy, pink comforter. We pull around ourselves when we need blessing, and when we need healing, and when we need favor. We say, oh, God's so good and merciful. Oh, we love you, Jesus. And I've heard this till I'm sick of it. God is love. I'm living under grace. Don't judge me, preacher. What about the grace of God? And the ignorant people that have changed the law of God into something that's soft and easy. They don't understand that God said, my grace, that's what I'm preaching to you is grace. The obedience to the plan of salvation is grace. The obedience to that you may escape the judgment of God, that's grace. Grace is not a get out of jail free card. Grace has something to teach you. Grace has a plan to show. I've said ignorant too much. My wife just gave me the look. Forgive me. Daniel said, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, you sit down and listen to me. Because I'm going to tell you what God said. And I'm going to declare unto you the judgment of God against your life. And behind this picture, we once again go to the fallen nature of man. And I want to tell you something. That God has already judged humanity. And there's coming a day when the execution of his judgment is coming. We've already been judged guilty. In fact, one point in our existence, God repented to himself that he even made us. And he destroyed all humanity except for the guy that found grace. But he didn't just sit on his hands. Grace showed him a plan. Build the ark to the saving of your family. And he built the ark and he saved his family. Amen. God's judged humanity. We're guilty. We're guilty before God. We have no hope of fixing it ourselves. There's no amount of self-preservation that will make you escape from the coming day of the Lord. Because I, in my own power, can do nothing. I'm guilty. On my best day, I'm not worthy to stand before God. But here's what Daniel said. He said, God's judged you, Nebuchadnezzar. You're the tree. The tree that you saw, it's you. You've been doing everything you wanted to do. You're strong. You have need of nothing. You're mighty. They can see you from all corners of the earth. Your majesty is unparalleled. Your strength and might is second to none. You can do anything you want to do. But I want to tell you something, Nebuchadnezzar, that God has judged you. And God already knows what he's going to do to you. In fact, he's already declared your judgment. He's going to cut you down. He's going to take your glory from you. He's going to drive you from the kingdom of men. And he's going to give you a heart like a beast heart. He's going to make you eat grass like an oxen and have hair like bird's feathers and claws like eagle's talons. That's coming. That's what God's going to do to you. It was the judgment of God. Daniel was bound by the law of God that I must declare that God has judged you and he's about to come down on you. Because that's what a preacher's got to preach. If he's a preacher, he's going to preach the judgment of God that's coming in your life. I want to tell you something, that no sin will ever be gone unaccounted for. It doesn't matter. You may hide it from the preacher. You may hide it from your friends and your wife and your kids. But you'll never hide it from God, because there's a washer that's looking at your life and he's putting it all down and he's writing down every thought and every intent and he knows the heart of your life. Resistance come. And I can see as Daniel stood and declared to the king, God's fixing to drive you from your house. God's about to execute judgment upon you. In fact, he's already got his sleeves rolled up. He's ready to do it. He's not thinking about doing it. He's about to do it. Amen. It's that close. The judgment of God's coming. And he's coming upon you for your thoughts and your intents of your heart. He's coming and he's judging you for your sin. He's judging you for your unrighteousness. He's judging you because of your lack of the fear of God. That's what he's judging you for. In fact, the sum of the matter is, he's judging you for your selfish human existence. And Daniel preaches the law of God and declares the judgment of God. And I cannot change the law of God, and I cannot change the judgment of God, and I cannot change what the Word of God said. In fact, if I change it, the Bible said I'll be cursed. But Daniel finished preaching the law of God, and he finished declaring the judgment of God, and he stepped back, and he said, "Now, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to talk to you. Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee." This is what God said, but this is what I'm telling you. Break off your sins, my righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And it may be that God will give you mercy. See, the preacher's got to declare the judgment of God. And I've declared it unto you today that every human being is going to be judged by the law of God. Whether you believe in God, whether you fear God, whether you understand God, whether you think I'm an idiot and your pastor's an idiot, and whether you think the Bible isn't true and it's just an old antiquated book, it doesn't matter what you think, you're going to be judged by it. God's going to look at your life and say, "You're a selfish human being. You never turned to me. You never honored me as God. You weren't thankful for me. You never submitted your will to my will." And now the judgment of God's coming upon sinners. It's coming. But God said, "Here's what we're going to do. By the foolishness of preaching, somebody's going to stand up in front of you for 35 or 40 minutes and declare unto you the righteousness and the judgments of God. And then he's going to step back and he's going to preach what's in the heart of every preacher, that God put in us. You ought to turn around. I know you're headed to judgment, but you ought to repent. You ought to break off your sins. You ought to run to the altar this morning and repent before God. You ought to get baptized in the name of Jesus. It may be that God will show you mercy." Watch this. God's hand was already ready to execute judgment on Nebuchadnezzar's life. And the preacher got up and preached mercy. "Repent, Nebuchadnezzar!" And the Bible said God gave him 12 months. When the preacher preached one message of repentance, God said, "I'll spare judgment for 12 months. I don't know. I don't have scripture for this, and I'm not preaching this as doctrine, but it may be the preaching of apostolic preachers that has already spared the judgment of God. God keeps hearing the ringing cry of an apostolic preacher saying, "You ought to turn around. You ought to repent of your sins. You ought to come running out of darkness. You ought to." And God says, I've already judged humanity. I've already judged them guilty, and I'm ready to execute judgment upon them. But maybe because there's a preacher preaching, somebody will hear the message and turn around. Maybe somebody will be convicted today and run and cry. But Nebuchadnezzar missed his moment of mercy because the Bible said at the end of 12 months, he was walking around in his house. And once again, he said, "Look at all this stuff that I've accrued unto myself. Look how good I am. Look how great my flesh is. Look what a wonderful guy I am." And the Bible says, while the words were in his mouth, God said, "The judgment that's already been declared unto you is coming." And in the same hour, the Bible said, they drove him out of his house, and his heart became like a beast heart, and his nails grew like birds' talons, and his hair grew down like eagle's feathers, and he ate grass like a cow, and he lived in the wild. But at the end of it, he said, "I know who God is now. He's the Most High God, and he doeth according to his own will, and nobody can stay his hand, and he does whatever he wants to because he's God and I'm not." Stand with me this morning. Humanity has already been judged guilty. We're guilty before God. We were born into sin. You don't have to learn how to sin. You just go with the flow. You don't have to teach your children how to lie. You have to teach them how to tell the truth. You don't have to teach them how to act like idiots. You have to teach them how to sit down and be quiet. Because although they're cute and innocent, they're living in the fallen nature. We've been separated from God. And those that walk in darkness know it's not whither they go. We're just stumbling around trying to do our own will and our own thing, and everything we see is right. And I like this church better because I think it looks more appealing to my life. No. God's not into that business. God said there's a law that's unchanging. No preacher can change it. No man can change it. Not even an angel can change it. Not even the man that wrote it, Paul, can change it. Because he said, if I or an angel from heaven come preaching any other judgment, let him be cursed. So humanity's been judged guilty. And because we've been judged guilty, Christ died for us. He gave his blood for our sin. He shed his guiltless body for our guilty nature. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the Apostle Peter stood up and preached the judgment of God. I don't want to cross theology or anything here today, but he preached about the day of the Lord that was coming. The day of the Lord's coming. He's preaching about the end of the time. He's preaching about the end of the period of time in which there can be salvation. He said the judgment of God, the day of the Lord, is fast approaching, that Joel talked about. It's coming where the moon's going to be turned to blood and the sun's going to be turned to darkness and everything's going to be, and God's judgment's falling upon sinners. And he said there'll be no escape. Ezekiel said there shall be no escape from the judgment of God. Then he preached about Christ dying on the cross. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 2 that they asked Peter, what must we do? What do we do about the end time? What do we do about the coming judgment of God? What do we do about Christ dying for us? What must we do? What do we do because God's judged us guilty? Give us your counsel, Peter. What do we do because God's judged us? He said, I'm glad you asked. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how we're going to escape the judgment of God, is by the obedience to the message of mercy. So you can stand here today and you can know that you're judged guilty. And you can do what the man with the authority, the keys to the kingdom, said to do about your guiltiness. Or you can go out of here like Nebuchadnezzar and say, I've got a nice house and I got a nice car and my life is so nice that there's not anything that could possibly be wrong. And God said, you don't understand. I gave you all that because the goodness of God should lead you to repentance.
Hallelujah. I think we ought to come. Hallelujah. I think we ought to come. Come on. What do we need to do, Daniel? You ought to break off your sins. You ought to run to the altar of repentance and say, God, forgive me for being a human being. God, forgive me for my carnal nature. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Come on. That's what we do about judgment. That's what we do about the day of the Lord coming. Run to an altar and repent. Come on, church. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Find somebody that's praying and pray with them. Come on, everybody come. We invite the church. Come on, come on. Oh, what do I do about judging? What do I do about the judgment of God? Repent, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what you ought to do, Nebuchadnezzar. You ought to turn around. You ought to come to God. Come on, why don't you bow your knee today? Why don't you lift your hand today and say, God, I've come to bow before you. I've come to plead before you for mercy. Come on, that's what repentance is. I'm turning away from my sins. I'm turning away from my unrighteousness. I'm turning away from my ungodliness because I need mercy. I've been judged guilty, but I need mercy. Come on. What do I do about God's mercy? Come on, you got to be judged guilty before you can get mercy. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. But have mercy on me today, God. Have mercy on me today. Hallelujah. It's because of his mercy that we find repentance. It's because of his mercy that we find an altar of salvation. It's because of his mercy. Are lifted. Our hands are lifted to God today. Lord, we're crying out to you for mercy. Lord, I didn't even know that you were paying attention, but I need mercy. Oh God, don't cut my tree down. I'll cut it down myself. I'll lay it at the feet of your mercy for repentance today. I'll humble myself before you, God.
God. I need mercy. Let your spirit cry out to him. I need the mercy of God today. I humble myself before you. I'm calling on you in repentance. Turn away from sin, Nebuchadnezzar. Break off your iniquities. Fall out before God. Hey, I give myself. Come on. God's reaching for sinners today. God's reaching for us today. He wants to show us mercy today. Let my counsel be acceptable unto you. Break off your sins. Show mercy to the poor. Break off your sin by righteousness. Repent. Be baptized. Sensitive. Find someone to pray with. God's touching people right now. I've been judged guilty, but God's given me mercy today. I'm coming to pray. The preacher has preached mercy today. I can find a place to repent. Oh, yes, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Lift your hands to heaven. Cry out to the God who made you. I need mercy. I need mercy.